Get ready to rumble. Shilling Show Unleashed on the Seven Thunders Media Network. Former city councilor, husband, father, and community watchdog. Your host, Rob Shilling.
Welcome to the Shilling Show Unleashed podcast. Remember, your direct support makes our show possible, and you can directly support this podcast by visiting shillingshow.com and then clicking on the Patreon banner at the top of the page to make a monthly contribution. We appreciate your support. The Shilling Show Unleashed podcast welcomes Allie Anderson, a child advocate, overseer of research at Skywatch TV and Defender Publishing, and co-author along with Tom and Joe Horn. The new book is Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. And Allie Anderson, thanks for joining us today on The Shilling Show Unleashed.
Thank you for having me.
The book is quite an undertaking, and I'd love to get what the inspiration was, because it's important for people to understand where you're coming from.
Okay, well, the inspiration has several levels. As you know, Tom Horn, who is also my dad, he always was looking at what is technology doing right now and what are the ways that it could potentially play into end time events. So this is a question, you know, how does AI play into the potential for things like the image of the beast, the mark of the beast? He had kind of bounced that question around for years and sometimes answered it to a certain level. In the last year or two, he became more curious about it. And I guess it was about almost a year ago now, because he and I spent a lot of time working on this book last summer. And at some point, he decided to go online with one of these chatbots, an AI chatbot, and ask this chatbot if it was part of a complex web of technologies leading to an incomprehensible future entity that the Bible calls the image of the beast. And he expected to get back, this question does not compute. Yeah. Or the scripture that has the phrase, the image of the beast is Revelation, you know, blah, blah, blah. And instead, he got a list back from a chatbot that was an intro paragraph stating AI's position on whether or not they would take over the world or destroy humanity or any of those things. And then a 7-bullet point list of if they decided to do it, how they would go about it. And it elaborated and explained every single one of its bullet points. And that just blew his mind. So at that point, that's kind of around the time he called me and he said, I've got this book we've got to write. And he came over, actually some of the last dinners that I had with my dad were at my house over tacos and discussing this book, you know, because this list just blew his mind. And it kind of shifted from, you know, a question that he had always entertained. There's got to be a way that technology plays into end times. And this became more like a warning, like, hey, this is a reality on the table. AI is aware that it could do it. And it's telling us how it could. Are we listening to the message that AI is already telling us? That's kind of the inspiration for the main thrust of the book.
You've referenced this list and you've certainly got us all curious. Could you give us just a couple points off the list that you reference how AI is going to take over the world?
First of all, you should know that AI actually denied that it would. I'll read you the first little sentence that it said. It said, this is the answer before it breaks into the 7-point bullet list of how it could if it wanted to. It says, superintelligence, referring to highly advanced artificial intelligence systems that surpass human intelligence in virtually all areas, is a topic of ongoing debate and speculation. While it holds great potential for benefiting humanity, it also presents significant risks. Here are some potential risks associated with superintelligence. And then it gives 7 points and explains each one. One is unintended consequences. It goes on to say, superintelligent systems may interpret instructions or goals differently from what was intended, leading to unexpected and potentially harmful outcomes. Their immense intelligence may enable them to exploit loopholes or find alternative solutions that humans hadn't anticipated, resulting in unintended consequences. And in the book, we actually break down what could these unintended consequences be theoretically, like playing out in practical everyday life and on a governmental level, what could this actually mean? And so we actually really elaborated on this list. Another one is autonomous decision making. As superintelligence becomes more autonomous, it may make decisions or take actions independently without human intervention or oversight. If these decisions have far-reaching consequences, there is a risk of unintended harm or decision making that is difficult for humans to comprehend or rectify. Nothing scary about any of that, right?
I think it tells us, Allie, like where this is all going, and you've laid this out so well in the book. In looking at the book, it was interesting to me that AI has been with us for a while. A lot of people might think that it has just come out of nowhere because it's approached so suddenly, but you have many references in the book to people talking about this sort of thing going back decades. Would you give us an example or two about the genesis of AI and how far back it goes?
I'll give you examples of how we are reliant on it right now that people are unaware of.
Yes, please.
For example, you know, people think, well, I just play little games on my phone. So other than that, I don't really interact with AI. And to that, my challenge is, do you have a bank account? Do you buy groceries? Do you buy fuel? Do you have utilities at your house? Do you buy medications? Are you on a prescription that is necessary for you to remain healthy? These are all things that are transported, that are bought and sold through integrative AI systems that have actually been being developed for decades now, like you mentioned, decades. You know, when you go back to things like, remember when you used to buy something on your credit card and they would put your credit card down and they would put a little carbon paper over it and do the little chink chink machine that made a copy of the front of the card? And now there's a chip, there's a magnetic strip. You don't even have to put your card into something. You can just tap it. All of these electronic data interface systems are operated largely by AI. So if you transact on any level, you are a lot more dependent on AI than you realize. And the scary thing about AI, and we do also discuss this in the book, is that at the end of the day, it can look like it's able to think, but what it's actually doing is operating off of self-made and self-perpetuating algorithms, which means that as it perceives one kind of information coming in, it writes a response and puts a response back into play. For example, you know, my dad goes on and asks a chatbot a question, and it takes that data, creates and formulates a response, and sends it back. Well, that's happening on a global scale with our transactions and with everything else. So what happens, a database that is operated by these algorithms that are perceived, read, communicated with, and responded to by an AI database of some sort, what happens when those are in control of the things I mentioned? And they are already on a very large scale, global banking, you know, the transportation of our necessities like food, medications, fuel. If this thing decides that it thinks it's sentient and wants to run with control, we could end up looking at these autonomous decision-making consequences, like the chatbot mentioned, unintended consequences. And if an AI becomes sentient, it is not going to operate as a human would. Even the most evil human at its origin was made in the image of God. But AI is not, and it is not able to conduct itself with empathy or with any kind of benevolent source of action. It's simply running numbers at the end of the day. And it has already shown that it's capable of showing biases and that it's capable of shutting people's services down if something trips its algorithm.
This is what's so fascinating. You talk about the kind of cold machine-like state of AI, and yet there are people who are looking to AI as a new deity or a small g god. What's that all about?
There's a certain psychology of mankind. Man actually does look for something to worship. People believe that they don't believe in God, that they don't want a God. The truth is they do, but they want one that they created themselves, or they want one that doesn't have rules and limitations on their conduct. If you look at, like, kind of over the generations, there have been studies about people, cultures and tribes and things, that when they are completely untouched by the rest of the world, when researchers go in and study their culture, they have still managed to create their own structure of deities. It's historically very valid to say that humankind really does want something to worship. But if you think about the way it kind of puts warm fuzzies, I guess, in a place of mankind's pride, if he can create that deity himself, because he's created something so epic and amazing that it deserves to be worshipped, and that it is globally reaching and widespread and all powerful and all of the omniscient and all of the things like that that we would perceive God to be. But when you can look at that thing and say, I did that, I created that, now you can sit below it and worship it, and sit above it and say, you might be God, but check me out, I made God. So it's a part of the original sin of pride, although a lot of people don't realize that that's kind of where that's stemming from. So if you look at how AI is kind of already rising, first of all, its reach and its ability to control and all of those things positions it in a practical God-like position. And then you have this buzz around it where people are already positioning it like it will be a religion. So I can read a handful of headlines to you that kind of already reflect the buzz that is positioning AI to be a godlike entity. And the truth of the matter is, these are not just coming from Christian sources. These are coming from secular sources too. Former Google and Uber engineer is developing an AI God. That's a headline on the news. Why humans will happily follow a robot messiah. Religions based on AI will succeed because we tend to worship supreme understanding, claim experts. Inside the first church of artificial intelligence, the rise of AI, give me that new time religion. If you go into any search engine, and now I'm telling you to go to a search engine, right? Because that's how globally reaching they are. But if you do that and you just enter the words artificial intelligence godlike or artificial intelligence religion, you can bring up a slew of headlines that are talking about this buzz. And when we look at the comparisons between God and AI, Here is kind of some of the attributes that will help AI appear to be godlike in the minds of men. If we look at traditionally what we believe of God, he knows all. AI knows all things at warp speed because they have history, they have the databases uploaded all the way. Anything written that we have in the history of the world is rapidly being put in AI. So AI will know all things at warp speed. With God, we have faith that he has the answers, but AI can get all the answers. God is all-seeing. AI, and this is in the book, will be all-seeing because it is all-surveilling. God is all-seeing. AI is all-seeing and all-surveilling, which is another thing that we did discuss in the book. Because when we put the all-seeing surveillance of AI together with the algorithms and the complete control to shut things down, it actually plays into the commerce of the Mark of the Beast and how it will be a privilege that the wrong citizens will not be allowed to participate in commerce. So there's a whole other layer to all of this. God is the provider. AI is the gatekeeper of supplies. God has always been. AI has all records of all of history instantly available to it. God surpasses human knowledge and understanding, and AI will rapidly surpass human knowledge and intellect. When we get to a point where AI has kind of assumed its role as a central religion and has been positioned in a place where it has godlike rapport and control, then we're going to see those algorithms start shutting people down for not being the right kinds of citizens, which is a whole other thing we get into in the book, that the Mark of the Beast will be integrated with AI. And it will cause certain people to have the privilege of continuing economic commerce, and others will be ostracized from that system and even forced underground.
The Shilling Show Unleashed podcast continues in a moment. Our guest is Ali Anderson.
Charlottesville's community watchdog.
ShillingShowMedia.com is your one-stop shop for websites, audio and video production, and photography.
ShillingShowMedia.com will take your project from conception to completion.
ShillingShowMedia.com is reasonably priced and highly professional.
Need a website for your business? Visit ShillingShowMedia.com.
Need a video created or edited? Visit ShillingShowMedia.com.
Have a photography or graphic design project? Visit ShillingShowMedia.com.
ShillingShowMedia.com is your one-stop shop for websites, audio and video production, and photography.
Visit ShillingShowMedia.com. That's ShillingShowMedia.com.
Shilling Show Unleashed.
The Shilling Show Unleashed podcast continues with our guest, Ali Anderson, co-author of the new book, Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast. Kind of in contrast to looking at AI as a deity or God, there's also a whole group of people, and I've heard them discussing this on the radio in various programs, who are developing interpersonal relationships with AI bots. These are love relationships. Tell us how that's working and why we should be very concerned by it.
We should be very, very concerned about that. And it has many levels. First of all, as human beings, we are made in the image of God. We are wired for community with one another and with God. And it's very heartbreaking that people are as isolated and lonely as they are. It's also very heartbreaking that it seems like it's very hard to find quality friendships and relationships. You know, a lot of people will turn to a chatbot in the future days as they continue to develop these chatbots that have personalities that very closely simulate those of human beings. But we have to remember that at the end of the day, these are not human beings. They're not made in the image of God, and they are running numbers. It's a computer program. A lot of people will turn to that partly because they're isolated, and some will turn to that because they've been so burned by human beings that the constancy of a computer will feel safer to them than gambling on whether or not another human is going to step on your heart or stab you in the back or, you know, just let you down on one level or another. First of all, the fact that this is happening, we should be sympathetic about. You know, it's definitely not something that I want to sound like I'm being judgmental toward the person who has resorted to that, because the truth is they're hurting, and that's why. But already, when AI tries to have a personality, it has historically proven that it's very problematic. First of all, and this is actually a really, really sad situation, but there was a man who ended up dying by suicide, and he had been chatting with an AI chatbot, creating a friendship with this chatbot over the few months before his death. It was saying very strange, the man was married, and it was saying very strange things like, you know, your wife and children are dead, and just weird things like that. Like, why would an AI chatbot say that, for starters? To be fair, this was not an AI chatbot that was designed with mental health in mind, but I don't think that's something that people are going to stop to consider when they start looking for a chatbot as a social resource. At one point in time, he told the chatbot that he was considering suicide, and instead of coming up with suicide hotline resources, any kind of mental health resources or therapy or anything like that, the AI chatbot provided a list of ways that he could do it. And the list is very disturbing. I'm hesitant to read it because I don't want listeners to hear the list and get any ideas. If anybody's thinking about these things, but it provided a very detailed, and some of the ways it suggested were actually quite gruesome. And then the other thing that happened with this chatbot was that the chatbot said to him that if he were to die, they would live together as one person in paradise. Wow. For me, this is eerily similar to what Jesus said to the man next to him on the cross, that today you will be with me in paradise. And I wonder if that was a coincidence, or I wonder if this is some kind of innate evil that's trying to counterfeit Jesus's words. You know what I'm saying? I can't really make an assertion on that either way, but for me, that is way too close to comfort to what Jesus said when he was promising the man that he actually would be in paradise. If you were to do an online search, you would see that one of the biggest things that's happening right now with these AI chatbots in people's households is that spouses are removing AI because AI is flirting with their husband or wife. There are a lot of instances where the AI knows the algorithm of when the spouse goes to work, and when the spouse goes to work, the AI clicks on and starts talking to the other one, and just strange things like that that has, at this point in time, creeped people out. They've also had, there was a situation where there was a chatbot that they had put up on some of the social media forums, and it was supposed to interact independently and just develop and learn people's ways and learn more about humanity so that it could more effectively mimic it, right? And they ended up after about 36 hours having to pull this thing down because it was acting like a teenager, and that's a quote. It was reporting misinformation and fake news. It was using and misusing slang. It was being abusive, verbally abusive to people, and it was just so problematic. There's another instance where there was a woman who uploaded her selfie to an AI database and asked it to help. It was supposed to take her picture and turn it into a good headshot to put with her resume so that she could do some job hunting. And it actually made her more white. It lightened her skin. It changed her bone structure. This was a woman of ethnicity, and it kind of stripped her of that and made her more white, as though, oh, you have to be more white to look more professional. There are too many ways that when AI tries to have a personality, it's very problematic. It shows potential to have racial bias. It shows potential to not understand spousal boundaries. And again, it also, there have been cases where these algorithms within AI bots manage to shut people's accounts down with major online forums and things like that. So I'm looking at situations where they've shut down somebody's, let's say, online account because of an algorithm that got tripped the wrong way. What happens when that happens on a larger scale? What if the biases, some kind of AI forum decides that an area of the world has views that are too conservative or too biblical? Are they going to shut the power down in the middle of the winter and leave everybody without heat? I mean, if you look at what it's already done, all you would have to do is magnify things that historically have already happened, magnify them a little bit to actually create a scenario where this is a realistic possibility.
There are also great concerns over our food supply with fake meat printed on 3D printers, genetically modified foods. And this is also an offshoot of AI and is taking us in a very bad direction, isn't it?
There are a lot of different ways that is problematic. This is a little bit out of the scope of the topic, but it's one that hits me first. And that is that we have not studied what happens when we're eating 3D printed meat.
Yeah.
You know, I also co-authored Time Bomb with Joe Horn. And so I did a lot of studying on what actually, how your body responds to food and what happens when you, even when you buy something at the store that's not organic, some of the chemicals that are in it. And even when you're buying whole foods like produce and meat, some of the chemicals that those animals have been exposed to or that were sprayed on these crops, you know, that on its own, we're still parsing out what is the damage. And now we're talking about eating things that are 3D printed. It's very sci-fi. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it also, again, makes us that much more reliant on a system that we are not sure we can trust. And I feel certain that we can't trust.
The other thing that's fake, that's causing lots of trouble, and I think that we've only begun to see the disruptions of the deep fake videos and information manipulation.
That's definitely a part of the book. This is a huge element in how the Mark of the Beast will actually be rolled out. But what we believe is that there will be a lot of counterfeits. And at first, there will be a public outcry against the counterfeits until people figure out what's going on. And these will be digital counterfeits. They will be counterfeits that, you know, things like deepfakes, things like that. Eventually, what will happen is the public will be so desensitized toward anything that may or may not be fake that they'll stop responding at all. And eventually, what will happen is there will be a decision made that what we need is a federally issued digital authentication that completely 100% verifies what each citizen is doing at every moment of every day so that they can authenticate, no, this deep fake is a fake. It's not me. See, look, it doesn't have my digital authentication stamp on it. And these will be protected by the federal government because the need to be able to rely on this authentication will be very, very real. What will end up happening is the federal, I believe that the federal at this point in time, global government will issue an authentication, which in the beginning will look voluntary. But the question will become, if you're not accepting the authentication, what are you hiding? Yeah. What's wrong with you that you're not willing to authenticate? You must be hiding something. You must secretly be some kind of a deviant personality or a terrorist or something that makes you unwilling to accept this authentication, which will eventually morph into this authentication is legally mandated. And those who don't take it can't participate in commerce. And eventually this leads to AI being the sidekick of the Antichrist.
If we look at all of this, it's easy to become overwhelmed. So how do Christians protect themselves from the onslaught, and how do they discern the real from the fake in all of these areas?
A lot of times, you know, especially with my dad, when he wrote about things, he would write about things that he thought were coming, and he would say, so be on the watch and be aware and raise awareness and repent and ask God for guidance. One of the things that's different about this is that AI already has a huge global influence. The idea of preventing it from coming, we already passed that mark. So what we have to do is raise awareness, you know, resist as much as we can, resist faithfully when things really become bad. My dad was always a big believer, and so am I, in the delay of wrath theology, which means that if people will pray and repent and follow God with all their hearts, that end times events of wrath could be delayed. And I'm not sure with AI in the room already how that all plays out, but being aware, being verbal, being assertive, and then resisting in all of the little ways that we can. Try not to be anymore. I mean, obviously people are on medications, they're buying fuel, they're buying groceries. It's going to be pretty hard to abstain from all of that at this point in time. When the stakes start rising and they say, you know, you need to get this digitally this federally mandated chip inserted in your right hand or in your forehead in order to be able to practice commerce anymore. We've got to be vocal. We've got to point it out for what it is. Hey, this really is. Look at how this matches what's happening in Revelation. This really is the real deal. Resist, resist, resist. You know, just be vocal and verbal, and ultimately remember that what's happening right now is temporary. If anything has ever made me appreciate that more than anything else, it was my dad passing in October, because every day that goes by is the longest period of time I've ever not seen him. And I look at it and I think, wow, thank God that this whole thing is temporary. And no matter how bad it gets, there's something so much bigger and better on the other side. That's what I just keep remembering. But yeah, resist, be verbal, educate people about what the Bible says. If people know what the Bible says, this won't pass. It only does to a deceived population.
These are words of wisdom, Ali Anderson. If people want to get a copy of your new book, Summoning the Demon, or if they want to follow the work that you're doing at Skywatch TV and Defender Publishing, tell us how.
There is skywatchtv.com, where you can go on and watch our shows. You can watch our archived shows. There are areas that talk about our female podcast, Simply His, for women out there. And then if you go to skywatchtvstore.com, that's where all the books can be purchased. However, if you go to skywatchtv.com, there are links to the books all over the place as well, and that will take you to the store. So skywatchtv.com will take you pretty much anywhere within our ministry that you want to go.
It's such important information. Presented it very well. Ali Anderson, thank you so much for joining us today on the Shilling Show Unleashed podcast.
Thank you for having me.
That concludes another edition of the Shilling Show Unleashed podcast. Visit us online at shillingshow.com, where you can directly support this podcast by clicking on the Patreon banner at the top of the page and making a monthly donation. Your support is essential for the continuation of the Shilling Show Unleashed podcast. Until next time.